follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN. The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
And it's Friday and time for another show on Planet Gridiron Radio here on Voice America Sports, the leader in internet media. We've got I'm sitting here with Dave Lockhart.
We've got
Jay Graves on the phone. Jay Graves from the jgravesreport.com. I'm Roland Hill. Football season's over, and I said this last week. You know, when football season's over, I look forward to this season because there's so much happening. It's the monopoly or the chess part of the game, you know, where you got players. We've got the combine, free agency, then the draft, and everything that goes on behind the scenes happening now, getting ready for next season. Welcome to the show. Good to see you.
To our many listeners, Dave Lockhart here joining you. And again, getting that national flavor from the Midwest, we always keep Jay Graves from the jgravesreport.com.
We ought to have Brian on here pretty quick.
Holla at you, boy.
Holla at you. Hey, man, you know what? I missed last show, so I'm glad to be back on. And Jay, I didn't realize it. You missed the show as well.
Exactly.
So we need to put at least a bow on the Super Bowl because we haven't put a little flavor
on it.
So we can move on. I think, gentlemen,
that therapy.
I think we all called it. I know I stood by the idea, at least, that I believed that the New York Giants were definitely better in terms of a team than the New England Patriots, although they had a prolific offense. And based upon the fact that Gronkowski was injured and could not play to his level or his capabilities, that was more so of another problem that they would have, they being the Patriots, encountered.
Yeah, and not to mention some drop balls. So,
right, and those things are going to happen. But
Mrs. Brady had it right.
Well, she may have it right. You know what? No, I tell you what, he could have thrown the ball a lot better, too, than Mr. Wes Welker. Maybe he wouldn't have had to make an acrobatic catch. So at the end of the day, Jay, you know what? I did believe it would turn out the way that it did. I was glad to see the Giants reign supreme. I'm an NFC guy, and you know, looking forward to next year. Jay, your thought with respect to the outcome?
Well, you know what? I felt the same way. I thought that, you know, we talked about it before the Super Bowl, that, you know, the fact that Gronkowski was injured, snake bitten, if you will, that they would have difficulty running the offense because the offense ran through him and Hernandez all season.
Right.
And so because they didn't have a deep threat. So it only made sense that it turned out the way it did. I thought it was a lot better ball game than I anticipated based on the injury, but that was worth the money.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you get a chance at all to go into the game, being that you live in that area, or did you from afar watch the game on television with family or friends?
Yeah, I just watched it on television.
Okay.
Because it was, you know, it was crazy downtown just trying to even get in that area, you know, not having a ticket to the game.
Okay.
It was just crazy, but I enjoyed all the festivities all week. And it was a good time. Indianapolis hit the lottery.
Yeah,
exactly.
you know, because everybody's around here saying, "Oh, we need to get another Super Bowl." I say, "Hey, slow your roll. We need the lottery." it was 55 degrees all week when it's supposed to be 15 degrees and 10 inches of snow.
Oh man, yeah, you all did. Y'all hit the jackpot. Matter of fact,
so a lot of people there in Indy.
Oh yeah, man, there were hundreds of thousands of people downtown every day from like the Sunday before the game until the game. The day of the game. It was ridiculous.
That was good for Indy, though.
It is good for Indianapolis, and once again, it demonstrates just how popular the game of NFL, not only nationally, but globally or internationally, you had the flavor of, Spanish TV, has now taken in. We have the Hispanic countries embracing football as well, and, you know, even a little European flavor, if you will.
Do you know that the Cardinals are the only team that broadcasts in Mexico or broadcast Spanish?
I did not know that, yeah. But it only makes sense.
You would think the Dallas Cowboys would be, but yeah, we're the only ones, or the first ones at least.
Hey, you guys, we didn't get a chance to comment on, I know you brought it up a second ago, with what Mrs. Brady said, you know, Brunson. But I thought that the media jumped all over her and was completely piling on.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts?
I thought they were too. And we have to recognize, as Colin Cowherd said, this is a globally recognized figure here, Gisele Bündchen is. And she can make a statement, it's somewhat in passing, and I understand that we have essentially the capture, if you will, of media nowadays, in light of the fact that they can go out and they can, you know, you got the TMZs, you got all of these media outlets, okay? But stuff like that she said, that's said, I'm sure, amongst wives, relatives.
Oh, it's probably said all the time, but because she said it, it became news.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
You know what? Let's keep it real. She was walking to the elevator with
right.
her girls and family, and some guy runs up on her with a camera, is following her with a camera, and then you get some idiot hollers out, Eli Manning owns your husband. Yeah, well, she's frustrated because the game's over. It's not like she held a press conference and threw the guys under the bus.
Right.
She made the comment, and she had her back turned to the camera, and she really said it, out of frustration to her girl.
Right.
Now, let's keep it real.
Yeah.
If Big Mama and Mud Deer would have been at the elevator, they would have been tearing up that doggone stadium and beating somebody up.
Yeah, you ain't never lied on that one.
if that was Chad Ochocinco's wife or girlfriend or some other, you know, black guy on the team, wife or girlfriend, man, they would have got more than just the F-bomb, and they would have got more than just, you know, her saying whatever she said.
Well, right. At that juncture, everybody was a little bit frustrated with what occurred. And it was no need to take it to that level, if you will.
Wait a minute. I gotta go back to black guy, really? Man, after brothers got white girls, man.
That neck would have started rolling.
Yeah.
Did you see that picture of one of the Giants was sitting on the bench? I think it was after the game, and his girl was standing in front of him. She was a white girl. His mom was standing there looking at him. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see
that. You see it, boy, she was giving him a look like, man, why you do this? Why you do this?
it did get a little bit out of hand. And you know what? Again, just because of the nature of the media nowadays, we could envision something like this happening.
And who said it? I mean, you got to consider the source. Who said it? Like you say, Jay, anybody else could have said it. It doesn't matter, white, black, or Mexican.
Exactly.
You know, they just don't have the clout. They don't have the weight. A lot of them think they do. But they don't have it, you know?
Exactly. So we can put a bow and a ribbon on this one. And although there's an off-season, folks, there really isn't an off-season. We are Planet Gridiron, and we are a football show, so we're always going to talk about football, and we're going to get back into it. But there are a few things that I'd like to address. We're going to talk briefly about this Linsanity, but we also must send out our condolences to the kid, Gary Carter's family. Those of you all who don't know, baseball veteran and Hall of Famer, Gary Carter passed last night after having a battle of cancer.
Yeah.
And there was at one time a remission and a discovery or recurrence, I recall, about a month ago.
Why do you think so many athletes battle this brain cancer or different types of cancers and long-term illnesses?
I don't necessarily believe that it's just athletes. I think what happens is you get the notoriety and the focus because these individuals at one time used to be either they're still in or focused or they were at one time.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think that anyone has, let's say, for instance, more cancer or more episodes of cancer beyond the general public. And before I go any further, I want to welcome Mr. Brian Harper from the Dirty South, from the Bama. Brian, holla at us, man. How you doing, buddy?
Man, I'm good, man. hey, and the great thing about the Dirty South is good weather. It's Mardi Gras time down here.
Uh-oh.
So everything's pretty good, man.
You've been behaving yourself down there?
Hey, dude, I know you. Are you looking for? You know what I'm talking about.
No. Tell him the story. Tell him the story, Brian.
Are you looking for him, Brian?
Brian, tell him the story. Tell him the story. Tell him what happened in Vegas.
Oh, all right. The whole thing. The whole thing. You missed out. Now, I was looking at one point for Landon Collins.
That's what I'm saying.
But sometimes when you go on, when you get on the interstate looking, you got like, you see like an exit that has a whole lot more variety. So I go to Vegas, that exit called Vegas, and I end up like seeing an exit that has a whole lot more variety. So man, someone very, very lovely out there, man. So, I'm actually kind of cool, man. I mean, like, you know, like as sudden as it was, I'm like, you know what, she could do the Miss Harper thing on a full-time basis.
They've been pulling up pictures of
it. I know. I feel like emailing this picture of Landon Collins' mama. So just maybe she'll give you, you know, kind of throw you off your game a little bit.
She ain't all that.
No, the sister all that. Hey, it's just that attitude.
That's from Landon Collins' mom, but I'm talking about this woman in critical condition, man, the one I met. Yeah, without a doubt. If you were flatline, she'd bring you back.
Oh, okay. Hey, Jay, we know our limitations, right? We can't slide down there. Be happy with the missus at home.
That's right. I'm gonna let B handle that. We got the game. Give him all the props. Do your thing, brother.
That's right.
Man, I'm gonna join y'all, man. I'm serious, man. Hey, look, me and this lady, we talk every day, all this stuff. Like, I'm going out there. She's coming here. I'm serious, but I might join you guys, man. Come on.
We got a seat for you. For you in the studio.
Well, we'll welcome you to the frat. We'll open up the burning sand and welcome you in.
You ain't never lied, but let you know they do get hot.
Oh, you guys.
We just loving it, man. But on the real, getting back to it, like Linsanity, we got to talk about it. We got about 3 minutes to break, so I want to start at least and then come back on the other side. But Jeremy Lin and the performance he's been putting on with the New York Knicks, obviously no one saw that coming.
Well, obviously. They cut him.
And if you look at the story, you know, you see the comparisons they say between Tebow and Lin and the Linsanity issues. I don't think if it's much of a comparison because I think they started off in two different.
I think Tebow's were manufactured. People wanted to root for him. This guy comes out of nowhere.
And then I don't see the comparison in the sense that, you know, at least Tebow left college as a first round draft pick, a Heisman Trophy winner, and a 2-time national champ.
His expectations were higher.
Player to play in the Southeastern Conference from a touchdown standpoint anyway.
Right.
So you at least knew that he had the capacity to do something in the NFL. When you got a guy that went to Harvard that's playing ball, that's been cut playing in the D League for, you know, just 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Now he's out there, you know, playing in Madison Square Garden and doing his thing. So it's a great story. I'm excited about it, but I think right now if his agent is worth his weight in his license, he needs to have that boy. We're getting all kind of endorsement deals right now before the carriage turns into a pumpkin.
So you're talking about that other shoe dropping soon.
What's he going to do when Stoudemire comes back?
He is back.
Is he? What about the other kid?
Mello. I mean, hey, it looked like Mello, you better join the party, okay? Because it's going to be interesting. I don't want to necessarily call Mello selfish, although his game looks that way. Go ahead, Jay.
No, but you know what? What people aren't giving Melo the credit. Melo isn't a point guard. He was a guy that had to almost play the point. And so now you got a guy that's a 2-point. So I think it will give Melo an opportunity to get the ball off a transition and break without him having to always create the shot, you know, because he had to play those two positions, if you will. But, you know, so I just think that people are diving all over Melo too early before we even see that the guy's going to be able to say, okay, I don't have to be the point and the guy shooting the ball.
Right. So he doesn't have to dominate the ball, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah. Right.
Well, the only reason I know about Linsanity is because it's all over the news.
Right.
Everything else, the point and the strong safety or whatever you guys talk about in basketball. It's like, wah, 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 wah. I don't understand it. I'm not a basketball.
Man, we got a very short break here. We're already approaching 30 seconds. I want to go on into commercial and come back on the other side to pick this up more because I think it's interesting before we move on.
Okay.
So we'll folks, you stay with us. Hit us up.
All three of us.
Hit us up, 888-346.
I think we got Efren on today.
9144.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad. This stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bench his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
And we're back here on Planet Gridiron Sports, Voice America. Voice America.
Thanks for hitting us up, folks, and staying with us. 888-346-9144. Again, we got the national flavor. You got Roland Hill with me, Dave Lockhart. And also, we have nationally on the Midwest, we have Jay Graves from the JayGravesReport.com and giving us a southern flavor, Mr. Brian Harper. Hey, B, before we went to break, man, I said I wanted to give you a little opportunity to give us a taste of what the South thinks about Mr. Lynn. I mean, we see it all over the place with respect to ESPN, who gives us a deluge too much sometimes, but I'd like an interesting perspective perhaps from the South of your thoughts and what you're seeing with respect to Jeremy Lin's play.
Well, the question mark from the South, or aka the barbershop perspective, is that it's not the guy's question, is he legit? My thing is, I like his game. I want to see what the guy's got after 30 or 40 games. That being said, though, I love the way he plays. I mean, he's got a style kind of like, it doesn't seem like he was running that backdoor pick and roll from Harvard type style.
Right, he's got a style like
from the Rutgers, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's why I consider and say, okay, I legitimately like the kid. That in question, let's see how he's going to react when Carmelo gets back. Earlier, Jay was saying, Carmelo don't have to run the point, but I saw him stop the ball when he had Chauncey Billups at times, too. So I think Carmelo's either going to have to kind of get into that role and join the party, or he could easily kind of somewhat not be the odd man out because of the contract, but kind of be like that dislike girlfriend that you got. You know, we got to date you because we already spent so much money on you, but we really don't want you here.
That's a nice little analogy there, but you know, I'm interested too in seeing, kind of not like wanting the other shoe to drop, but also seeing him settle in. But in keeping the insanity or the Linsanity in perspective, we still have to recognize and acknowledge, although he's long, he obviously has a game that works well in the system that he's thriving in. But let's not go overboard and begin to make the comparisons. Now I'm hearing Steve Nash and how do we miss and all of this kind of foolishness, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. And you have to keep in mind that he's playing, he's doing well, and you have to give him his props. But what, you know, next, I want to see what he's got next Wednesday,
okay,
or Thursday when Miami comes to town, and yeah, he plays against an elite ball club.
And you might get a little
what's gonna be dangerous now, like we, and I'm telling everybody, what's gonna be dangerous if I'm LeBron and D-Wade, I'm saying, look, there's no way. Whatever we got to do, shoot it 80 times apiece, we cannot let this guy beat us. Because if he comes in and go head-to-head, he's not great on defense.
Right.
But if they come in and he's an integral part of beating the Heat, that is just going to add questions to the LeBron, Kobe, Jordan comparison. Like, there's no way Jordan would let a new guy come in and dominate him like that. There's no way. I'm just telling you that. If you're LeBron, if I'm LeBron James.
Wait a minute, guys. Wait. Hold it. Time out. You guys hear that? You hear that? That's me. I know nothing about basketball. This is Planet Gridiron. This ain't courtside. Let's talk some football. Free agency, franchise tag.
We're going to get into that, but I'm going to let Brian finish that thought.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
But my life is taken. That's what we got to find out. So, February 23rd, man, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Leave it right there. It's going to be interesting. We can talk about it next Friday.
So, on this note, we're going to let that roast cook some more. Let it marinate, let it cook some more.
I'll do some basketball prep next week.
But from this end, again, I think we're all here on the mic here. Wish him well. Definitely excited to see the progress and the progression.
He gets
and
to go to Disney World.
I think he is the real deal. I don't think this is a flash in the pan. I do believe he has the ability to play and stay in the NBA.
Well, now, how does he get paid? Can he?
His contract is now guaranteed. New York went forward and they guaranteed the remainder of the contract.
How much was
he's making league minimum, gentlemen? What is that roughly? Somewhere between $350, $550, maybe.
Really? Just
if anyone knows, I know it's quiet out there because I don't really know that much. Brian, you got any idea what the salary is, or Jay?
No, idea.
Maybe he'll get some endorsement deals.
He's going to get plenty of that. Jay, you still with us?
Get some real money.
Yeah, I'm still with you.
Okay. Hey, we're talking basketball.
I just saw the other day that they said he was making just under the league minimum, which was just under $800,000.
Oh, my God, really?
That kind of shocked me because I thought the league minimum was a lot lower than that.
I did, too.
On ESPN the other day, they said that he's making just under the league minimum, just under $800,000.
Is it just a year contract, so he'll have a new one next year?
Well, he had a non-guarantee. They now have guaranteed that contract, so the remainder of the salary, he's going to be good for next year.
I just
year.
Want him to get paid.
Oh, he'll get paid.
I just want him
he'll
paid.
Get paid. But, hey, we are a football show, so let's put this to bed.
Okay,
move on.
I asked you a question before we started the show, and I don't quite understand this, and I hear some goods and bads about this. Franchise tag.
Okay.
What is it? Is it good for the team, good for the player, bad for the player? How does it work?
It has some elements to it that are good for both parties, but it's primarily good for the NFL, the organization, the team.
And they can just arbitrarily?
They can just take this person and designate and say, you're going to be franchised. And that means he is not going anywhere. The benefit to some degree. The benefit to some degree is that the franchise player will make the average salary of the top five highest paid at his position.
In his franchise year.
For the upcoming year. So let's say, for instance, whatever the top salary was for 2011, for the top five players, it's either 100 or 120% that player will make. So it's a king's ransom. The danger and the problem is it's a one-year contract.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's why players do not like it. They like the idea of the signing bonus. And then you have the contract to supplement.
Okay, let's say Calais Campbell. Okay. Let's say they put a tag on him.
Yes.
His contract was $900,000, I think.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So they franchise him in March. What happens next year? He makes considerably more.
If he signs that franchise tender, which he ultimately will.
Right.
Uh-huh. Let's be honest. He'll sign it. He will average just what I said. His salary will be, for 1 year, the average of the five highest paid players.
So for example, when they were talking about franchising Michael Vick before they actually gave him the longer deal.
Right.
He was going to make about $18 million that 1 year because the average salary of Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, et cetera, was, $18 to $19 million.
Right.
So he's going to be between Peyton Manning and Phillip Rivers and all those guys.
Okay, cool.
Right.
So,
because just like the situation with, in Philadelphia, DeSean Jackson, they were talking about franchising him.
Right.
In my opinion, I look at it this way. Yeah, if they franchise him, say he makes $8, $9, $10 million next year, he still has an opportunity the following year, if he's not hurt,
right,
to make additional money, because you got to keep it real. In the NFL, the money's not guaranteed anyway.
Correct.
So if he signs a long-term deal and he gets hurt, he's not going to make all that money anyway.
So that franchise,
the money's guaranteed, is in the NBA.
So in a franchise tag, you're guaranteed the money?
Yeah, once you sign the tender, it's guaranteed.
Yeah, once you sign, yeah.
The money is guaranteed.
So I don't see a problem with it.
I'm not seeing a problem with it either.
Well, I don't either. Fundamentally, I don't see anything wrong
Maybe
with
the
it.
Agent
I know
does.
Brian can speak more to this. I really don't have much of a problem with it, but I understand the thinking of a football player who says, wait a minute, I want the signing bonus, which is really what the one-year deal is, in addition to the security of the long-term contract, because let's keep this real. Once you have made that kind of money up front in the signing bonus and then you get the long-term deal, you're still not getting cut within the first 2-3 years of that deal because it handicaps too much the cap with respect to being able to try to go out and sign other players.
Okay.
Right.
So they have to have a return on that investment, even if you plan a little do-do, as
I
call it.
So if a player has that franchise tag on him, do they go out that year and do they play their hearts out?
I'm going to defer to Brian. I would think one would do that.
Brian?
Well, the dangers of you know, you got 1 year.
Right.
You add pressure to yourself that you do want to go out and perform. And sometimes that ain't even always a guarantee, because some teams start preparing for you, they game plan and key you. So even though you make the danger of the franchise tag, and why some players don't like it, do they like that guaranteed upfront money? Yes.
Yes.
Then you go out and on your franchise year, your questions, you get beat on a few plays. You're not breaking those tackles that you broke the year before that. Then all of a sudden, after that 1 year, you know you got money. Now your contract is up. Does your team re-sign you? On the other teams, is the word out? You're like, well, look at his numbers, top. Is he losing a step? And so now, even though you had that 1 year of a lot of money, a lot of people still love the game and want to at least continue to make that money.
Sure.
But when the question gets out on you, will you sign that long-term big lucrative deal?
Right.
And that's where players have a problem with having that franchise label, because, yeah, you're giving me a lot of money up front for 1 year.
Right.
But if I happen to have a bad year or get IR'd and stuff, then the question to come out, am I going to sign that long-term deal after that following year? You really don't want that 50-50 toss a coin up in the air type deal. You want that, like, hey, we love you here, we want to keep you here. Or you want another team to say, hey, look, we love what you did over in Philly. Come over here to San Diego, and we'll double what you pay and give you all the accessories of putting your family in a suite and doing all the other things to where you got 4 or 5 years of consistent income coming in.
It definitely makes sense from that standpoint, but Jay makes it not interesting, but a very poignant point, which is the money's not guaranteed anyway. So why isn't there some comfort level, at least in the one-year deal?
Because the comfort level in the one-year deal, you might get a lot of money, but on your contract, you're still going to get money up front. Like, once you sign like that lucrative deal, you're still going to have that money guaranteed, even if they cut you. And like you said earlier, you know, a lot of teams, once you sign that lucrative deal, they're just not going to cut you for salary cap unless you're just a buster. So for me, you want to say, like, okay, I may have gotten paid $18 million for 1 year, and then of course Uncle Sam steps in and get his half and
right.
Do what he got to do.
Yeah,
but I still don't agree with that.
Come in, a team pays you $60 million for a total of 4 years with $30 million up front guaranteed. You kind of want that deal because you know at least 2 or 3 years you're playing football regardless.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's some things to be said for it. It definitely offers some benefits and security to the player being the franchise tag.
How does it benefit the league? Not the league, but the club.
The club gets to get this player who's highly motivated, that's playing at an extremely high level, to stay with his team. That's what it does.
For a year.
For at least a year. And then you can come back the next year and franchise him again.
Oh, can you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you can do that again to him. So, you know, that's the real, I think more so than anything, Brian, that's the danger with the franchise tag as it relates to the player. Mm-hmm. Because you play on that 1 year deal, and like you say, let's say you blow it up, okay? And then they come back next year, Jay, and they say, oh, I'm going to franchise you again.
But you're going to get the same money.
Now, according to the collective bargaining agreement, and B, you tell me if I got this wrong, but from what I understand, you can only franchise a guy twice.
That's correct. That is correct. That with the new change. That is correct. But you think about that, a year in the NFL as opposed to a year to any other sport. That's a freaking eternity just because of the nature.
Yeah, but if you're making, you know, 300 or 400 a season or whatever, okay, and then now you're going to get 18 million,
mm-hmm.
and then they're going to give you 18 million the next year, I'd do that.
I mean, come on. In the grand scheme of things, when we're talking about from not a real world, that's
right,
us.
Okay, right.
We all have to admit the NFL, NBA, professional sports, mm-hmm. that's not real world.
Who, a whole nother world.
Who wouldn't take that? Right. But once you're in the environment, in the arena playing professional sports, and yeah, you're going to take the money, but you look at it totally different than if you would a person
right,
like us.
It's all relative.
Yeah, it's all relative. Exactly.
You're looking
right.
at it. I mean, that's just like with us going to work every day.
Correct.
You know, there are people that make a lot less money that will say, oh, man, I'll work for that. I mean, well, why wouldn't you work for that?
But you don't know what I got to do.
You know, $4 an hour.
Right.
You know what I mean? Thinks that the guy that makes 30 grand is getting paid.
Exactly.
And, you know, and the guy that's making 30 grand thinks the guy that's making 50 grand is getting paid.
Exactly.
So it's all relative.
Hey, we're going to have to step off for a moment and take a break. Coming up, we're going to talk combine, free agency, and the draft. Coming up 90 here on Planet Gridiron, Voice America Sports.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad. This stuff really works. Starting bigger, faster, and stronger, and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
Kevin Lewis has been a student of the game his entire life, from Little League to the NFL. Tune in Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Voice America Sports. Hustling with K. Lewis. It's not where you start, it's how you finish.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
And we're back here on Planet Gridiron Sports Radio. Before we went to break, we talked a little combine, free agency, and the draft. Free agency, we just talked about franchise tags. And Clinton Portis, tell me about him. How come he doesn't have a home?
He old and broke now.
You think so?
I don't. In my opinion, you saw the deterioration of Clinton Portis over the last 2 years, and then he was out of the league this past year.
Right.
And that's a lot of miles on still a relatively young person, but old for NFL
standards.
How
old is he? 28,
29? He's out early 30s. Am I right, Brian?
Early 30s.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He did come out early. He left after his junior year. Very productive, but that is the running back position and the nature
of it.
He's
about 31.
Yeah. And it breaks your body down. And that's an old 31 with the number of carries that he's had over the number of years he's had. And although being productive during the early part of his career and even during the middle part of the career, I'm going to give it the shout out of it's over, partner.
Head to the booth.
I hope he saved his money. Unfortunately, running backs, we can find them either in the draft, and it's been demonstrated even in the Canada CFL. Miami has just signed the leading rusher out of the CFL the past 2 years to a contract, and frankly, off the street. Because the skill set that you need to be successful, and I know Brian can speak to this, Jay, I know you watch a lot of football, the skill set never changes when it relates to a running back from Pop Warner to the NFL. It
really?
Does not change. Yeah,
so he will be homeless this year.
Yes.
And that's why when, you know, we always talk about the top five or the top 10 running backs all the time, I always tell guys in my top 10, you know, I don't even have Emmitt Smith
Emmitt Smith was just more durable than everybody. That's why he was able to play longer and be able to do well. You can't, you know, there are a lot of guys that were excellent running backs that only last 5, 6, 7 years.
Right.
But Emmitt did have that extra special.
For a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, Emmitt has good DNA, is what I'm going to say. Right. And what I mean by that is that he's one, he's very durable. He has good DNA in that. I think his dimensions, and Brian, you can speak to this definitely, his dimensions are perfect for the running back position. You want somebody about 5'9", 5'10". Compact, anywhere from 205 to 215 range. Doesn't have to be a blazer. You know, I love him to have speed. Uh-huh. But what I would prefer him have is natural instincts. One, good vision, ability to cut back, and body control. Blazers at a running back position, you'll see these kids in high school to smash and do well. And if they do everything on speed, I look at them a little bit with a jaundiced eye.
Really?
Because they don't develop the other skills that you need in the game.
Right.
Yeah, and the thing you have to remember with Emmitt Smith, he was the beneficiary of probably one of the
best offensive lines.
Offensive line.
Yeah. Exactly.
That would be a symbol.
You know? No, it's so true because I had a dear friend of mine, unfortunately fell on some hard times, but played in the NFL for a good period of time. And he played at least 11 years. You all might remember Darrell Lewis, came out of Arizona, played with the Houston Oilers, right. He and I were, we stayed in touch with one another, and I remember he came back. And we were talking, and we got to talking about running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought up Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders. My mind, I always thought Barry Sanders was better. And someone at the table brought up Emmitt Smith being better, and he jumped in and said, look here. He said, Emmitt Smith is the beneficiary of playing perhaps one of the best offensive lines ever assembled. Okay,
I agree.
Right.
He said, Barry Sanders can do, he said, you take that and put him behind that line, and he'll easily punish the record folks.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, so the same thing with, you know, I always talk about, you know, Walter Payton the same way. I grew up in Gary right next to Chicago. He never had help, and this guy was just like Barry Sanders, played on terrible teams but could do everything.
Sure. Sure.
You knew Walter was getting the rock.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It was no question. Who's getting the ball today? 34.
3-4.
And you still did not stop this guy.
Exactly.
And right. People understand it wasn't like that. Walter didn't have any more years left to play at him. He'd won a Super Bowl and decided to shut it down. That's why I understand when you try to put that comparison, even though the numbers say different, you can't compare Emmitt to Walter Payton. You look at Barry Sanders, man, that move to where Tony Casillas didn't even know he went right by him.
right, exactly.
And people are saying, like, Barry shut it down early, and it still took Emmitt two or three years to break it, and Barry Sanders was doing Coors Light commercials.
Exactly. Right. I mean, he was only 1,500 yards away from the record. He easily would have surpassed the record if he decided to play an 11th year. As opposed to the 10th year. So,
it was like Barry left the thing broke down. Now. It was like, oh, he lost a step. Barry left at the top of the game. Everybody's like, what? Did he just?
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly. Everybody was looking around trying to figure out what happened. Exactly
now,
right.
Now, is his boy as good as him?
His boy is all that in a bag of chips.
Oh, really?
Yeah, his boy is nice. Have you gentlemen seen him as well, Barry Sanders Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen him. Yeah. He's going to play at Stanford. Guarantee you he'll play as a true freshman.
Really?
Yeah. And it's clear, you know, we'll bring it back around, folks, but it was very clear Mr. Sanders talked to Lil Sanders and said, hey, boy, think beyond just playing football.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay, because he got the opportunity to go to Stanford. That tell you what he was doing in the classroom anyway leading up to this.
Right.
And then to sign somewhere like, and granted, you know the boy has skill. Why? Because I got to give Brian a shout out because Alabama wanted him too.
Oh, yes.
Okay,
oh,
so you know he can play.
I was sick that he didn't come.
He wanted an education. He wanted an education.
You ain't got to ride. You ain't got to worry, Brian. All y'all did was restock. You know, but going back.
And look, hey, quit being selfish.
You can't have them all. You can't take them all.
he got all the candy. He don't want to get nobody enough.
I just want to strike up the band every time. I want to be right over there being striking up the band every time.
Man, he over there shooting elbows and forearms. You think it's an MMA?
Come on, man. Let somebody else play.
And you can get annihilated rapper.
And let's be honest. You know what? You know, briefly on Alabama, because they already have started it again. They're already in the lead for the class of 2013 recruiting already. So they have already commits coming out. They in Texas are at it. But, hey, kind of going back, you know, what's also interesting in the NFL, we've heard, and we knew he needed the money, T.O., but not only T.O., but Randy Moss now. is saying that he wants to come back to the league. Now, GMs, I'm going to give
everybody. I think he can play. I'm not a GM. You know, I'm not an expert, but I honestly think he can play.
Of the two, who would you want? I'm going to give Jay a shout-out first.
Of the two?
Of those two.
Of the two, I'd have to go with Randy Moss.
Okay, and now tell me why you're going to do that.
Well, I first of all, Randy Moss is younger. and I believe that Randy Moss isn't as problematic as T.O.
Doesn't come with the drama.
T.O. saying all the right things now. But once he gets comfortable, if he were to get on the team and get comfortable, I mean, the monster's going to rear his ugly head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's what it is. I think that, you know, Randy Moss has made some mistakes along the line. But I never really had a problem with Randy Moss, you know, playing even when he was doing some of the things he was doing. He was just being a guy that, you know, I've always heard that he was a great teammate.
I've heard that too.
He was never a problem in the locker room.
Right.
No,
I could moon the Green Bay fans.
Exactly.
Brian, you had a chance to talk with T.O. What do you think?
Personally, I think of whatever offense system you run in, that's who you pick up.
Okay.
I think T.O., I don't know if he really is like ahead now because, I mean, he's going through a whole lot. Only reason I would take T.O. is I like the fact that he can't go across the middle and he can't get past defenses anymore. I'm not even sure if Randy Ball can. But the one thing I do know, I think T.O. can still take a slant and take a hit and move the chains. And that's the only reason I take him. From an attitude perspective, I think both of them had issues and maybe they've changed since they've missed football. But the only reason I take T.O. is because he's a little bit bigger and I've seen him catch that hard sand and take a look and maybe move the chains. I'm not sure if Randy Moss could or wouldn't do it. That's the only reason I take T.O.
Okay. My of the two, if I had to choose, I'm waffling too. You see, I'm doing when I think about it more and more, I'm going to lean more to T.O. from Ryan, and this is the reason why. I give Jay much love when he said that one, he's younger, but, and also here's the other thing. He ain't the one coming out of knee surgery. Okay. He being Randy Moss. But when I look at T.O., I looked at how he played that year with Cincinnati. I agree. I think it kind of caught up with him, this nastiness and this diva attitude that he now is beginning to embrace the fact that, hey, you can only do that when you're at the top of your game, a la Barry Bonds. When you act like that and that game is diminishing, yes, and the game is diminishing, the physical skill, then you can't be like how you are. So I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, being T.O., that perhaps he's matured to the point cannot be what he once was, even though generally.
Talk about maturity and you're 38 years old.
Right.
I think I can't comprehend guys like me. He's matured. I know people live different and everything, and I still don't understand how you can blow that money. It just makes no sense to me. But it's sad that we got to talk in certain players in NFL terms, like, okay, he's got to mature. And that's what makes it hard for us to accept a T.O. and Randy Moss when you got guys like Andre Johnson who aren't divas.
Right.
Who give it, say, Larry Fitzgerald.
Calvin Johnson.
Those guys who aren't divas, but just go out there and still going to get it done every Sunday.
I agree with that. But other two, I would take T.O., but if I could go in another direction.
For his productivity?
For his productivity, yeah, right. You know that man's always going to be in shape. That's unquestioned.
Yeah.
You know he brings the lunch pail every day to practice and the game. And that's really what I want from him, okay?
Uh-huh.
And at this juncture in his career, again, I agree with Brian. I don't like talking about 30 to damn near 40-year-old men have to mature. You know, where have you been for the past 10 to 15 years, as far as I'm concerned?
Right.
But be that as it may, he's certainly motivated by a lot of outward pressures to be successful, to make money, which means you have to play well. And because of that, I'm more willing to give T.O.
Where did
shot.
His money go?
Well, it went with one. He's trusting, as he said, and he allowed some people to get him involved in a project in Alabama, which is where he's from, with the gambling. Turned out it was illegal. He lost $2 million on that. Then he has all these baby mamas. He owes $44,000 a month in child support.
That's another thing. I'm like, man, come on now. I mean, trust me. I get it in, but, man, I ain't got baby scrawled all across. But you got to be smart, man.
Definitely.
I'm not pointing fingers. Every man that got in, they point out. That's why I don't get that, man. You got to be smart than that, dude. I don't care who you are.
No, that's called self-inflicted wounds.
You can't let Mookie and Ray Ray handle your finances.
True. Yeah. Everybody around him went to the Alabama Junior College instead of Harvard.
Exactly.
Let's be honest. When you're making that type of bread, when you come into that type of bread, you got to call guys up that's been rich for 15, 20 years.
Right.
You call Jordan and say, hey, Jordan, who's handling your finances? What firm, what accounting firm are you using? Not the guys in the bootleg in the barbershop.
Because
that guy gonna disappear. You gonna come back to the barbershop and it's gonna be cool.
Right.
But you go to someone that's a reputable firm handling money. Well, they take off with the money. You got some recourse.
Right. Exactly. And that seems to be the problem. Everybody seems to be so wedded to the hood. You are supposed to change. Right. You are supposed to change. That was the whole point.
Wedded to the hood.
They wedded to the hood. You know, another case in point, you know, is I'm sure you all have heard about Allen Iverson.
Allen Iverson, right.
He's gone through hundreds of millions of dollars.
$54 million.
He's broke.
Really?
They're talking about, hey, we'll sign you. The Lakers, apparently, it's come to light, the Lakers offered him a contract to play this year. But they asked that he go to the D League to work on his skill. He declined. Now, all of a sudden, we see he's ready now to go, perhaps I will go to that developmental league. And that Brian, never should be the situation with a man that made $154 million. I don't care if you gave...
Brian, let's keep it real. How do a brother owe $860,000 to the jewelry store?
Right. And here's the other thing. How is it that you ain't got the money out of $154 million? Right. What's going on?
But that's what I'm talking about. Foolishness. How do you go out and buy on credit $860,000 worth of jewelry that you don't even have anymore?
Correct.
I mean, whatever you bought, you're not still wearing it.
That you don't have.
You give people the things. Look out for everybody. You don't go back and check, quote unquote, behind your
Brian, board. Brian, can you hold that real quick? We got to pay these bills real quick. Please keep that on the tip of your tongue on the other side, folks.
Be back, Effort.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Hey, son, why so down?
Well, gee golly, Dad, Coach doesn't let me play. I'm always on the sidelines, and I can't seem to make any friends. I don't know what to do anymore.
Well, here, son, why don't you try some of these PlanetGridiron.com pills? It says right here on the label, they'll get you bigger, faster, and stronger. They'll even get you friends.
Wow, thanks, Pop. You're swell.
Wow, Dad. This stuff really works.
I'm starting bigger, faster, and stronger,
and everybody loves me.
PlanetGridiron.com is not a pill and cannot make you bigger, faster, or stronger. It is a website dedicated to players, coaches, and fans engineered to get you better on the field and beyond. PlanetGridiron.com.
Where football lives.
It's the Revolution with Jim and Trav, brought to you by Zeiss. This week on the show will be...
Four-time champion of champions, turkey caller Mark Prudhomme from Georgetown, South Carolina, David Hale with Nightingale Game Calls, Mike Stock with Winchester Ammo, and the president of Ruger Firearms, Michael Pfeiffer, when we talk spring turkey hunting. All brought to you by Ram Trucks at RamTrucks.com. Wednesdays at 1 Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. I'm Jim Ferguson. I'll see you on the trail.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
And welcome back to Planet Gridiron Radio here on Voice America Sports, the leader in internet media. Going up to break, we had a great conversation. I'd like to switch gears and go into the combine.
All right.
And what I would like to know is, and Brian, maybe you know more because your brother probably went to it. What is it when the season's over, you're playing college ball, you're senior or junior, season's over, when do you start thinking about the combine? How do you start preparing for the combine? And what does it take to be successful at the combine?
Well, the biggest thing, college football season's over, you want to find a training facility, and hopefully you're good enough if you have an agent who's invested in you to probably more than likely pay for you to train at these different areas out in Arizona, Atlanta. Mm-hmm. That being the case, so you're not a highly sought-out guy, but you have been invited to the combine, then, man, you just got to hope that your college strength and conditioning coach and you yourself got that motivation to come in and grind, and you really want to just kind of get yourself staying in shape, staying off the field trouble, a la Dre Kirkpatrick. We don't win a national championship and say, hey, let's go light it up. You don't want to do things like that. You want to stay out of trouble. You want to keep clean, and then just continue to just to work hard. And then, of course, when the combine rolls around, you pretty much know your strengths. There's so much info out there these days.
Yeah.
You can go and look at yourself on where people saying you're weak at. So if you don't have a good vertical, you need to work on your vertical. If you're not a good 40 guy, you need to work on that. The biggest thing, though, the eye of the scout on a lot, they're going to look at game field and see how well you cover, who you played against, and hopefully once all that part is well and done, you have a good combine and a good interview, you get your name called on draft day.
Is this the time to be in the best shape of your life?
Absolutely. You're preparing for the most important interview in your life.
Yeah, you want to be in the best shape. You want to have the least amount of body fat. You want to train because, man, that is just a severe cattle prod. I know we were on nerves during Roman's combine because Roman pulls a hamstring. Working out in Atlanta, speed and resistant. Because his question was his speed. The defense of Alabama was so good, they never had like a 20-yard run or a deep pass, so they didn't know if Roman could run because he'd never been in a trail position. They just how good the defense were. So he's doing all this training, and, of course, you know, you want to have him down at a 4.5 and all that stuff, quote-unquote, the speed and safety. So he pulls the hamstring. So the only thing he could do was bench press. And what Roman did, he just went and knocked it out. He did more bench press than any other DB there. So that kind of got him on the map to where they really still respected it. And then on his pro day, because after the combine, if you don't get an invite to your combine, the NFL about to your pro day.
Right.
And on his pro day, he was blessed enough. He ran a 4.4.
Okay.
And that, you know, kind of put him up there.
Hey, Jay, you were about to say something. I'm sorry. Go ahead and shout that out to us.
I was kind of add to what Brian was saying. You know, my brother has a company called Football Performance up here in Indiana. That works with St. Vincent Sports Medicine.
Okay.
And you know, Eugene Parker, the big time agent.
Yes.
Well, he has a lot of his guys, that are getting ready for the combine, and they've had them there for about 8 weeks. They put them up in a hotel,
mm-hmm.
and they train them and do all this stuff. And it's just amazing to me that my brother has to constantly tell guys, dude, you 5 minutes away from making $1 million, and I got to beg you to come in on time.
Really?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, some guys just still don't get it. They that close. They've been invited to the combine. They right there. They got an agent. They got a big-time agent. But then you want to show up to workouts late.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it's sad that you do see that a lot of times. You have a lot of people investing a lot of money in you. You have the actually God-given talent and ability.
Mm-hmm.
But when you got a 5-cent head, and we've seen it out here, a la Vontaze Burfict. From what I'm hearing is that he's at a facility, he's flabby, he's not in shape, he has a hamstring pull. He can't do more than 15 reps right now on the 225-pound bench press test.
Is he going to combine?
Yes, he is. And he's projected to be, you know, late first rounder, early second rounder. And with the kind of issue he brings off the field, and he's not matching that when we already know what you have before you in terms of the test, I mean, I don't get it.
Now, is he training here in Arizona?
I'm not sure where he's training, but I've heard a lot of the pundits. Mike Mayock has definitely smashed him.
Yeah.
He said, I'm not impressed, not very instinctual, gets swallowed up by big offensive linemen, runs around blocks, has physical ability, but has not lived up not only to the hype, but the tape doesn't match the physical ability that he has.
Uh-huh.
And you know what, fellas, and that's why, and Brian can speak to this a little further, that's why they call it professional sports.
Yes.
You know, you can't just have the ability to play. You got to have a mindset to be able to be disciplined enough to do what you need to do
right.
to get on the field.
Right, right.
And hands down, it's definitely, you go to a whole other level. When people are going to pay you money, you got to have that type mindset. I've been out with Roman Man in L.A., and I'll be honest with you, man. Roman can go hard, and at 2 o'clock in the morning when they shut everything down, and then by the time he's got to be way up in North LA to train at Billy Miller's facility, man, he's up there on time and don't be late. And they ain't gonna drag around in workouts, man. I'm like, you know what? I see why you make the most money in the family, because I'm not doing that.
I catch you on the rebound. Is that what you're trying to say, Brian?
I catch you on the rebound. I mean, he's ready to go, dry fit on. I'm talking about he goes and grind. I tried to do that one time, man. I think I threw up, man, for about 40 minutes, man, after swimming with that guy. Everything that was in me that night at 2 o'clock came out during our workout.
It's called commitment, you know.
Yeah.
I admit, I'm a nerd. I love watching the NFL Combine. I will watch the loop of that on the NFL channel, you know, hour after hour, time after time. I just am, I'm interested. I'm just very interested in it. It piques my interest to watch people, you know, go out there and prepare and then they execute and perform. And it also kind of confuses me, I'll say befuddle. I'll say that, the knowing that you have these people like an Andre Smith who came out of,
Alabama.
And, you know, it actually angered you because the talent is there.
Mm-hmm.
And he treated that most important interview that all of us would kill for. I don't care if it, whatever the greatest pharmaceutical company was giving you, say Jay, a shot at a CEO position. You, Brian, you know, a shot at the head coach CEO position, rolling you as well. And then you know what's going to be on the test in the interview, yet you don't prepare accordingly.
Nope.
It's no explanation for that.
Easy come, easy go.
Yeah. You know,
easy come, easy go.
But that made you scratch your head even more. Despite the fact that he didn't prepare, he still was the fifth pick in the draft.
Where's his daddy? Where's his daddy?
It still was the fifth pick in the draft.
At least a half a second, man. He didn't even prepare and still went in the top
five. He was still in the top five.
Maybe he knew something.
You know, and
but now, Dave, you know, before we were talking about this, and I was saying a lot of these guys, they cut weight to go to the combine.
Yeah.
Now, as a team, and you're looking at these players, and Brian and Jay, you might know this, you're looking at these guys on the field running the 40s, and they cut weight. They're going to put on more weight. Do you have to compensate for that? You got to look at these kids and say, they're going to put on 20 or 30 pounds, and what are they going to be like?
Well, Brian, I'm going to let you answer that one, but go with that one.
What you're hoping is if they're working hard and you know they're going to catch weight, 20 or 30 pounds, you hope that's 20 or 30 pounds of just straight grown man strength and on your nutritional program once you get them in. You don't want them overweight 20 or 30 pounds before you draft them because that's really maybe the junk food, red meat or something like that, and that ain't what you need. If you were on them like Michael or those guys, you want to put 20 or 30 pounds on them, that's because of age, they're spreading in that NFL what we call it, grown man water strength on their nutritional program. So that's what you're looking for when you're a scout or an agent. I mean, when you're a scout.
Right. And if you've done that incorrectly, meaning cut weight or something, it's going to show up in the workout because this one's going to be weak. They may be susceptible to injury. Because a lot of these facilities, I had a very good friend of mine, Percy Knox, who worked at AP, Athletics Performance.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I got to actually go in their facility and saw what they did with them. And the year I got to see this up close was, the year that Vernon Davis came out and smashed all tight end records at the combine. And it's regimented. It's everything. Meals and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, folks.
That's it. That's the show. There ain't no mo. Time to go home, Joe. I got to say, before we go completely off, Efren, I hope you really enjoyed the show, and I'll see you in a few minutes.
And he going to be mad.
Yeah.
Folks, thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll catch you next Friday.
Go, 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 go.